Q106.7 weather.
Here's your KQNK forecast. Ample sunshine expected today, with daytime highs approaching 85. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight, lows level off around 48. Ample sunshine expected tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 91. Slight chance for showers Wednesday, daytime highs approaching 86. 80, mainly sunny skies Thursday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm Staff Meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
This Kansas Information Network update is brought to you by Eaton Roofing and Exteriors.
I'm Britton Rucker, and here are today's top headlines from 12 News. You may notice some more Kansas law enforcement officers on the road this morning. Today is 420, which some consider a so-called marijuana holiday. Agencies across the state are preparing in a campaign to keep marijuana-impaired drivers off the road. The State Department of Labor reports unemployment held steady in February. According to new data, the unemployment rate stayed at 3.9% last month, a sign of stability in the state's labor market. And a Wichita police officer responding to an officer in trouble call ran a red light and caused a crash that injured five people late Saturday. Police say his lights and sirens were on at the time. The Kansas Highway Patrol is investigating. In Wichita, Britton Rucker, 12 News.
You're listening to the Kansas Information Network.
Real talent is defined by what people can do, not where they learn to do it. So by stopping at the education section of a resume, you might throw away the perfect hire. You might miss someone who has valuable skills to offer to help your business thrive right now and in the future. Because the truth is this: Skills First Hiring helps you see talent others miss, like more than 70 million stars skilled through alternative routes. When you let their story unfold, you gain a competitive advantage, because hiring managers who start with skills are 60% more likely to find a successful hire. See the real person. Complete. See what others miss. Hire skills first. Learn why it's a competitive advantage at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News is brought to you by the Norton County Hospital, providing the best care right here at home. More than 1,000 acres burned in a wildfire in Edwards County near Kinsley on Thursday. The fire was near the R9 Ranch, which is owned by the cities of Hays and Russell. The Hays Post has attempted to reach the Edwards County Emergency Manager and Edwards County Sheriff for further information on the fire, but phone calls were not returned as of April 17th. The city of Hays has released the following statement that same day. On Wednesday, April 15th, a prescribed burn was conducted on city-owned property in Edwards County. Preparation and execution of the burn followed all proper protocols, and the burn was approved by the local fire chief. The prescribed burn was conducted as planned without issue. Staff monitored the area throughout the day Wednesday and Thursday to ensure any hot spots were addressed. Sometime in the late afternoon Thursday, a fire was detected in the Arkansas River Bottom area adjacent to the property. The cause of ignition for that fire has not been determined, and an investigation is underway. There will be no further comment on the matter until the investigation has been completed. Several people claiming to be from Edwards County have contacted the Hays Post and expressed frustration at the controlled burn. Most of the area is under drought conditions and has experienced repeated red flag warnings in recent weeks due to high winds and low humidity. Norton County has been awarded Phase 3 Blue Cross Blue Shield Pathways funding, designating placemaking in healthcare as one of the five key focus areas. Lead artist John Sebelius of Lawrence will collaborate with a team to conceptualize and implement multiple art installations at Norton County Hospital. Currently in the planning phase, the project involves surveys for staff and patients to gather input on art content ideas and frequently visited locations. Norton native Dylan Hawks will also be collaborating with the Lawrence creative team. A dairy farm in western Kansas caught fire Sunday afternoon, bringing in a response from multiple Kansas firefighting agencies. Firefighters from Hamilton, Stanton, and Kearney counties have been helping fight a fire at the Syracuse Dairy Sunday afternoon, where 10 to 15 haystacks caught fire along with some silage pits. The Syracuse Journal wrote a Facebook post, according to the Kansas Forest Service, windy conditions are making the fires difficult to contain. The Kansas Forest Service reported that Tanker 95 and DFMO Williams have been released after assisting local crews in Hamilton County. Officials said burning silage and hay bales produced embers that spread into nearby grass and continued to expand due to strong winds. According to the Kansas Forest Service, the wildfire progress has been stopped, but crews remain on scene to monitor and patrol. I'll be back with more news after this.
Join our stellar team at Norton County Hospital. Looking for a workplace where compassion meets career growth? Look no further. If you're ready to embark on a fulfilling journey surrounded by supportive colleagues and opportunities for personal and professional development, we want you to be part of our family. Explore exciting career offerings and our comprehensive range of benefits, including CAPERS, on the Career tab at ntcohosp.com.
According to the unofficial minutes of the Norton City Council, Council met in regular session Wednesday, April 15th, with Mayor Dale Jacobson presiding. Council members present were Andrew Black, Craig Everly, Gerald Jones, Dale Engelbert, Jason Jones, and Jim Miller. Others were present to discuss council business or observe. Motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Dale Engelbert to approve the April 1st City Council meeting minutes. Motion carried 6-0. The following building permits were presented: Brandon Peterson, Mark Christensen, Ryan and Kelsey McCulloch, and Ed Burlier. The following old business items were addressed: Alex reported on the status of the impound lot lighting. All the poles have been removed from the development. The dig safe has cleared, but they are now waiting on wire. The electric department coordinated with the public works to move the vehicles in the way so the pole can be set. Alex stated at 315 West Taft, it was cleared up by public works, so it is complete. Gerald asked that it be removed from old business. The public works crew will be cleaning up 709 North 1st and 803 North 1st in the upcoming week. It was reported that there is further discussion on a possible or other process for handling Retire the Ride. City Clerk Alex McKenna reported the city will be digging the lake line on April 20th, flushing hydrants on April 21st, and filling the pool on April 22nd. Alex stated lifeguards and concession stand workers have been hired. They are now working to schedule lifeguard training. The plan is to open for the pool season on Memorial Day. Alex stated training and implementation on the new water meters has been completed. Public Works will begin putting meters in the ground beginning of May, starting with the 3/4 and 1-inch meters on Route 1. Alex congratulated Kristen Bremer on passing her Class 3 drinking water exam, which now makes her certified at both plants. Mayor Jacobson read a proclamation proclaiming April 20th as Volunteer Recognition Day. A motion was made by Andrew Black, seconded by Gerald Jones, to adopt the mayor's proclamation. Motion carried 6-0. A motion was made by Jim Miller, seconded by Dale Engelbert, to accept the mayor's appointment of Jo Lynn Lockhart to the Library Board, filling a position with term expiring February of 2029. Motion carried 6-0. Mayor Jacobson stated he would like to see the city start advertising for the city administrator position. After discussion, it was decided to begin advertising immediately, and the interview panel would be composed of the mayor and two council members. Gerald Jones scheduled a public safety committee meeting. Andrew Black stated he was going to schedule a public works committee meeting to discuss the maintenance and management of Armory Drive. Abby has done some research on the topic but would like to do more before they meet. Andrew stated he will schedule the committee meeting at the next council meeting. Jason Jones reported the ad hoc committee met to discuss mitigating risk to the city and improving efficiencies with the workplace by updating electronics or purchasing more electronics if necessary. He stated Alex and Mitch are in the process of gathering a list of some items from the various departments. Jason scheduled an ad hoc committee meeting. Jason stated the personnel committee met and discussed the following items that they would like to refer to the finance committee for consideration in the 2027 budget: increasing shift differential by $1 and change to the longevity pay plan. The committee is also proposing to update the on-call compensation policy to include that employees may bank their on-call time as comp time, and to update the police department's description in the on-call compensation policy. The committee would like the council to consider extending the pay scale an additional 3 steps and shortening the length of time employees are required to stay on the last 4 steps before advancing to the next step, which would be effective 2027. Jason stated the longevity pay plan change proposed is to increase the base pay to $600, with annual additional amounts starting at $50 for 10 to 15 years, then increase to $25 every 5 years. Jim Miller stated the March bill for power from Prairie Land was $98,796. The Western Area Power Administration bill was $10,000, and the Southwestern Power Association bill was $2,600. Jim Miller reported the utility committee met with Prairie Land Electric to discuss the process if the city were to sell the electrical system. Dale Engelbert reported the sales tax ad hoc committee met and further discussed the plan and timeline, but they are now waiting to see what happens with the legislature before proceeding further. Dale scheduled another sales tax ad hoc committee meeting for April 23rd. He also scheduled a finance committee meeting for May 5th. Craig Everly reported the Parks Committee met and discussed the location of the dog park, cemetery improvements and maintenance, and the Rec Commission lease agreement. He also scheduled a Parks Committee for April 30th. Motion was made by Andrew Black and seconded by Dale Engelbert to approve appropriating Ordinance Number 8 as a whole. Motion carried 6-0. Motion was made by Dale Engelbert and seconded by Gerald Jones to adjourn. Motion carried 6-0. According to the unofficial minutes of the USD 211 Board of Education, the regular meeting of the Board of Education was called to order April 13th at the Alice Tweed Center by Michael Terry, president. 7 members were present, so a quorum was declared. Those present include Michael Terry, Kate Sprigg, Mitch Lowry, Shanna Clark, DJ Frick, Ryan Katz, and Deanna Winty. Others present were Corey Roy, Gina Riley, Troy Keysweater, Lucas Melvin, Bobby Murray, and Logan Katz. Others were present to discuss board business or observe. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Mitch Lowry, to accept the consent agenda consisted of approval of minutes of the March 9th regular meeting, approval of bills and transfers, and approval of the agenda for April 13th. Expenditures were approved for payment. Superintendent Roy discussed the situation with the district special education co-op, NCKSEC, due to budget miscalculations at NCKSEC, the co-op is falling short of funding to finish out the fiscal year and asked the member districts to contribute additional money. With the state and federal government not contributing enough money towards special education, districts are being asked to contribute more money each year to help cover these programs. As USD 211 prepares for upcoming budget plans for next year, NCKSEC has already indicated that they expect to increase their request of districts' contribution by over 20%. Over this year. Other items affecting the upcoming USD 211 budget will be state contributions for at-risk funding becoming more difficult to obtain due to changes in legislation and future years' state school FTE funding formula changes. Superintendent Roy told the board members that he has a Zoom meeting at the high school to go over a safety application called Emergent 3 that will help with added security for district students and staff. Mitch Lowry will be taking part in this meeting as well, and he invited other board members to attend if they would like. Superintendent Roy reviewed current year expenditures that have been completed using capital outlay funds and projects that are already in place with funds allocated. He mentioned that the board had already discussed the need for a new route bus next fiscal year. He said there will be additional discussion at budgeting time to allocate capital outlay funds and requested the board to think about directions they wanted to go with those funds. NCHS foreign language teacher Caitlin Ellingza made a presentation discussing the possibility of offering a field trip to Japan as part of a student learning program through Explorica, a company that provides student travel tours. The trip could be offered to all NCHS students at their cost, with fundraising opportunities and possible financial assistance that students could apply for. The board asked Ms. Ellingza for more time to take the trip under consideration and would have Mr. Roy discuss it with her at a later date. Science Curriculum Chair Teresa Schultz and Professor Mad, Kim Fiscus, gave an entertaining presentation about soil composition, which ended with a treat for board members and others in attendance. Mrs. Fiscus told the board that the using of Professor Mad identity for some of her lessons was one that she started during COVID time to help make learning more fun and has continued since, with the students having a positive response. Superintendent Roy presented materials and discussed the new school cell phone ban legislation that has passed and guidance provided by KASB Legal Department regarding the new law. The school board will have the responsibility to approve policy that reflects the legislation. The principals discussed current and proposed plans for next year that would also follow the requirements and the possible penalties to put in place for students who do not follow the rules. There was no action taken at this time with further discussion and policy to be put into place prior to the next school year. District Accreditation Director Jeremy Hawks presented an evaluation of the district's KESA plan and performance. He and other district staff members attended the School Improvement Day in March. At the School Improvement Day, the district's current plan was reviewed and work for next year's plan was started. He stated that USD 211 is using a balanced assessment and continues to move in the right direction with its performance scores. Principal Murray did not have a final plan for summer school in place for this year. She has only interest from three teachers so far, when there are normally six teachers, and parent interest for student attendance has been low. With possible lower student numbers, summer school could still be provided with less teachers than usual, or if there's not enough interest, the district could forego summer school this year. More information will be provided at the regular meeting in May. Superintendent Roy provided another copy of the JBCC enrollment of non-resident students policy that was presented at the regular March board meeting. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Ryan Katz, to approve the JBCC policy for enrollment on non-resident students for the 26-27 school year. Motion carried 7-0. Kate Sprigg provided a summary of the last NCKSEC board meeting. There was additional discussion regarding funding and the district's contribution. Dina Winty provided a summary of the last curriculum council meeting. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Kate Sprigg, to go into executive session to discuss personnel assignments and actions pursuant to the non-elected personnel exception under KOMA, and that the board return to the open meeting when concluded. Motion carried 7-0. Superintendent Roy and principals Key Sweater, Melvin, Murray, and Katz stayed in the executive session. After two executive sessions, the board returned to the open meeting status at 9:25 p.m. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Kate Sprigg, to accept the resignation of Jeremy Hawks as curriculum director, teaching, and all coaching positions. Stacy Montgomery as National Honor Society sponsor, and Brandon Gay as assistant forensic coach, each effective at the end of the 25-26 contract year. Motion carried 6-0. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Kate Sprigg, to accept the resignation for purposes of retirement of Kimberly Fiscus as second grade teacher, effective at the end of the current school year, with much appreciation for her service to the district. Motion carried 6-0. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Kate Sprigg, to approve the nominations of Becky Jones as junior class sponsor, Erica Daniels as second grade teacher, Zach Dreyer as head high school football coach, and Abigail Graham as assistant high school volleyball coach, each for the 26-27 school year. Motion carried 6-0. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Kate Sprigg, to approve the PDC points for the March 23rd meeting. Motion carried 6-0. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Mitch Lowry, to go into executive session to discuss upcoming negotiations pursuant to the exception for employer-employee negotiations under KOMA, and that the board return to the open meeting upon completion. Motion carried 6-0. Superintendent Roy stayed in the executive session. After two executive sessions, the board returned to the regular meeting status at 9:49 p.m. The meeting was adjourned at 9:50 by President Terry. According to the unofficial minutes of the USD 211 Board of Education, the special meeting of the Board of Education of USD 211 was called to order by Kate Sprigg at the Alice Tweed Center. Five members were present, so a quorum was declared. Those present were Dina Winty, Vice President via phone, Kate Sprigg, Shanna Clark, Ryan Katz, Mitch Lowry, Superintendent Roy, Gina Riley, Board Clerk, and Becky Jones, NTA. Others present were Michael Terry, President, and DJ Fick. Motion by Mitch Lowry, seconded by Ryan Katz, to elect Kate Sprague as Acting Board President for the special meeting of April 17th to accept the quorum and approve the agenda for the special meeting. Motion passed 5-0. Superintendent Roy told the board that the district had not used any of the allowable snow days that are built into the annual master calendar for the 25-26 school year and requested the board to approve ending the school year 2 days earlier in May. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Shanna Clark, to approve changing the master schedule for the 25-26 school year to move the last day of school for students to Tuesday, May 12th, and the teacher work day to Wednesday, May 13th. Motion passed 5-0. Superintendent Roy asked the board to approve the purchase of 120 Chromebooks, which is part of the normal annual rotation of Chromebooks for students. Motion by Ryan Katz, seconded by Mitch Lowry, to approve the purchase of 120 Chromebooks and licenses from DHE Computer Systems for a total price of $60,850. Motion passed 5-0. Motion by Dina Winty, seconded by Shanna Clark, to accept the resignation of Kelsey Jansen, a junior high science teacher and assistant junior high scholars ball coach, effective at the end of 25-26 school year. Motion passed 5-0. The special meeting was adjourned by Kate Sprigg. I'm Joanna. Your KQNK News was brought to you by the Norton County Hospital. You can call the Norton County Hospital at 785-877-3351 for all your health care needs.
Kansas Agriculture Network News.
Good day, everyone. I'm Greg Akagi. Back in early March, the House Ag Committee passed its farm bill, which now awaits a vote on the House floor. House Ag Committee Chair G.T. Thompson says he's hoping for a vote yet this month.
You know, we had a great success when it came out of committee. I mean, it was a 34-17 vote. So we had 7 Democrats that supported the bill. It was budget neutral, it was responsible spending, and bipartisan by design. When you look at everything that went into all the listening sessions all across the country, 43 states, 1 territory, you know, it really is practical policy. It's not political games. And so, and quite frankly, I think with what our farmers are needing right now, it'll give them certainty. And so I think there's an urgency in Congress in order to get this done.
And it's past time for the farm bill to cross the finish line, as farmers in the agricultural sector face significant challenges.
What we did in one big, beautiful bill, the agriculture title or farm bill title, which was Title II of that, was about 20% of the farm bill. But an area that needed significant investments, $55, $56 billion on top of what we've done in the past, and we accomplished that. But the remaining 8%, that's a new farm bill that's long overdue. And farm country needs updated policies now, and that's what we'll achieve with the Farm Food and National Security Act of 2026.
And Thompson talked about the Senate's farm bill development process.
Chairman Bozeman is such a good friend and a great leader. Real proud of his leadership with the Senate Agriculture Committee. Well, I know that getting the farm bill out of the House and sending it over to the Senate is critical. We want to help Chairman Bozeman build up some momentum in the Senate. And this has to be a team effort between both chambers for it to be successful. And I think he's waiting in with anticipation for what we will pass and send his direction.
Comments from House Ag Chair G.T. Thompson. This is the Kansas Agriculture Network.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Kansas Agriculture Network weather.
I'm meteorologist Michael Caron, the Kansas Agriculture Network. An upper-level ridge of high pressure looks to keep conditions dry not only for this afternoon, but right into your Tuesday coming up as well, before a cold frontal boundary will gradually begin to approach from the west late in the day on Wednesday, bringing at least a slight chance for some hit-or-miss type showers and storms later on Wednesday to far western portions of Kansas. And then as that cold frontal boundary continues to push eastward across the region into the day on Thursday, do pick up a chance for some scattered showers and storms on Thursday, especially into eastern Kansas, with some of those storms again across eastern Kansas into Thursday afternoon on the strong to severe side at times, cooler than in the wake of that front by Friday. For northwest Kansas, for this afternoon, expecting a good deal of sunshine with high temperatures climbing up into the middle 80s. We'll have our winds turning to the southeast at 5 to 15. Into north-central Kansas for this afternoon, it's full-on sunshine with high temperatures into the lower 80s. We'll have our winds out of the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Across northeastern Kansas for this afternoon, we'll see full-on sunshine. High temperatures looking to reach up into the upper 70s to lower 80s, with our winds turning to the south around 10 to 15. For southeastern Kansas, it's lots of sunshine for this afternoon, high temperatures in the lower to middle 70s, some breezier south to southwest winds kicking up to 10 to 20. For south-central Kansas for this afternoon on the breezy side, mostly sunny conditions with high temperatures working up into the upper 70s to lower 80s. South to southwest winds at 15 to 25. And for southwestern Kansas this afternoon, lots of sunshine, low to mid 80s for high temperatures, with south winds 15 to 25 miles per hour. This is the Kansas Ag Network.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. If you're struggling with mental health, you should know that there are resources out there that can help. And it's okay to talk about it if you need to. One place to get started with information is loveyourmindtoday.org. Loveyourmindtoday.org offers a range of guides, instructions, and insights for dealing with difficult situations or getting through a tough time. If you're struggling with mental health, get the help you need, because most people out here really care. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.